Hello, folks. Welcome to the Solar Fit Renewable Energy Show. Welcome back to us. If you are a first-time listener, we talk about renewable energy, sustainability issues. We love interviewing entrepreneurs and you name it. Anything we can bring to education to our customers, that's what we want to do. First of all, I want to give a shout-out to our loyal sponsors, Daytona Dodge Jeep Ram, for their loyal sponsorship and particularly for the Race to Stop Suicide. And Daniel Dye, our driver of the Craftsman Truck Series. We were up in Darlington last weekend. If you're a race fan, you know that it's called the track that's too tough to tame. And let me tell you, it is. The corners are in no way symmetric, and it's just very, very interesting but exciting stuff. He's doing well this week. This next week, we're going up to Charlotte. So anyway, follow us, if you will, on the Race to Stop Suicide, and hope to see you there. I've got my good friend on with us today, Mr. Bob Keefe, who's Executive Director of E2 Environmental Entrepreneurs. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Bill, it's great to be with you, and good that you're going racing.
We love racing. I'll tell you, if it goes if it goes fast or if it spins around like a propeller, we're all over it, you know?
There you go.
Are you a race fan?
You know, I've been watching Formula One lately, Bill.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Trying to get into that. I was watching the Miami Grand Prix the other day. It was kind of fun.
Well, that is the pinnacle. That's the top of the line for sure with the international drivers and stuff. And believe it or not, there's a lot of F1 drivers coming into NASCAR now. And there's a big learning curve. You know, obviously, to jump into a Formula One car is hard for NASCAR people, but jumping into a NASCAR stock car, that's a challenge for the F1 guys.
Right.
So it's fun to watch, though. So anyway, it's been a while since you've been on, and you got a lot of information to share with us. Before we start, can you bring our audience up to date with your background, where you grew up, and how you came to this part of the country?
Absolutely. Well, thanks again for having me, Bill. I mean, I grew up in North Carolina, which, by the way, has become one of the leading solar states in the country for a lot of interesting. I spent most of my life as a journalist, including about 10 years as a reporter in Florida on the other side from you in Tampa Bay. But I now am the executive director of E2, Environmental Entrepreneurs. We're a national organization of more than 10,000 business leaders who advocate for policies that are good for both our economy and good for our environment. And I'm also, Bill, as you know, the author of a book that came out a year ago yesterday called Climatenomics, Washington, Wall Street, and the Economic Battle to Save Our Planet.
And if you haven't had a chance to read it, folks, you need to get it. It's excellent. I had a chance to go through it, Bob, after our last interview. And, man, I'll tell you what, you hit the nail on the head. Talk about education. That's the one book you need to buy for sure. Is that on Amazon? How do you get it?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Indie Books, wherever you can buy a book, at least online, if not in the store. And thank you for that, Bill.
Oh, it's absolutely true. How about Audible? Is it on Audible?
You know, I don't know if it's no, there's not an Audible version of it. Maybe we should get an Audible version of it out there.
You know, we really should, Bob, because I am addicted to Audible. It's hard to find time sometimes to sit down and read a book, but, man, I get on my bicycle.
Agree.
I plug my earbuds in, and I go on my bicycle, and you know, it really makes the time go fast. You could turn an hour and a half ride into something like 20 minutes and end up with an education, too. So hope you get
good
that
point.
On it. Well, great. Okay, so I know you're an author and stuff like that, and you spent a lot of time up in Washington, D.C., and we talked about that a little bit before we started, and I hope you're okay.
I'm recovering.
It's so crazy out there. What is going on up there? I mean, gosh darn, there's a lot of good things and there's some crazy things. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And, you know, the good news is, look, we're in the midst of a economic revolution, Bill, that you and I and nobody in this generation, if not generations, has ever seen. I mean, since the passage of the major climate and clean energy legislation last year, we've seen $80 billion worth of private company investments into clean energy projects around the country. My organization, E2, has been tracking this now for a while. $80 billion worth of investments, private sector investments, more than 170 major new clean energy projects all across the country. that have been announced, creating at least 60,000 jobs, probably a lot more than that. And when it comes to solar, you know, solar's right at the sweet spot of all of this, Bill. Of those 170 projects, about 46 of them include major renewable energy factories, investments in solar and wind turbine factories and things like that just in the past 8 months. That's more announcements that we've seen in the past 5 years in this country. And, you know, just think about what's happening. Right now we have the biggest solar panel factory in the Western Hemisphere being built. Qcells is building it in Georgia. We've got the first new solar panel factory by a major American company, First Solar, going up in Alabama right now. Not too far from you in Jacksonville, Bill. Jinko Solar is investing $52 million to expand its plant, doubling its workforce to 500 jobs, by the way. And, that's a Chinese company investing in America, creating jobs for Americans. Not America shipping its jobs to China. Remember when that was the norm?
Boy, I still remember. Well, that was the norm on some other products. I've often thought about that, Bob. There's so many products that we're getting now from from the Chinese market and stuff like that. I've always found it curious why solar has been selected as a tariff target when all these other products are also coming in from there. Can you shed some light on that?
Well, that's a good point. And as you know, there was a lawsuit by a very small solar company that kicked off all of the tariffs that began. Now, unfortunately, just this week, or maybe it was last week, forgive me for getting my dates wrong, but in the past couple of weeks, the Biden administration or President Biden vetoed legislation that would have continued those solar panel tariffs on panels coming from China. Now, obviously, we want to build them here in America, and we're going to build them here in America, as mentioned, from all those factories that are going up now, thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act and other federal policies. But the fact of the matter is we can't do it right now. We can't build enough solar panels domestically to keep up with the demand. I was talking to one of our E2 members just the other day, who says that he can't buy an American-made solar panel because the wait list is about 2.5 years right now. So, yes, we need to build those here, and yes, we're going to once these factories get going, but we can't just stop the solar industry in its tracks and wait for those factories to get up and going because we ignored this problem for decades. So, the good news is the panels are flowing again, and at a reasonable price, and that will keep the majority of the solar industry workforce, which is not factory workers at this point, but installers, that'll keep those people on the job and keep solar going strong.
Yeah, what a great explanation, that we were really concerned about the potential of reinstating these tariffs because, just as you said, we need kind of a reverse glide slope. We can't snap our fingers and make this work. We need to do this as quickly as we can, but we can't shut down an entire industry in the meantime and close off all those employment opportunities. I love to hear that we're bringing these businesses back to America. It is so exciting.
Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is we should have been doing this years ago. America invented the photovoltaic cell, we owned the solar market, and then we let it go overseas, and we didn't pay any attention to building factories. We didn't pay any attention to climate change and clean energy, frankly, for too long under previous administrations in Washington. And China now produces the vast, vast, vast majority of solar panels. Again, the good news is we're finally... thanks to the federal policies passed last year, we're finally starting to invest in and support the production of solar panels in this country. But we've got to get those factories up and running without killing the industry in the meantime.
Yeah, for sure. There's so many things in that IRA Act that are a little bit nebulous right now, and we're waiting for direction on. I think one of them would be... direct payment to nonprofits, which is a huge benefit to like churches and some of the people that we service. Do you have any updates on that, or is it still being developed?
You know, I think the IRS is still trying to figure out all of the credits for every different part of that, and I guess including that direct payment to nonprofits bill. But, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, for homeowners who install solar, it means a 30% tax credit for both solar and now batteries for the first time, by the way. And this isn't something that the solar industry has to contend with trying to renew every single year like it did for a long time. This is extended for 10 years now. And then you also have other advanced clean energy project credits that are going to utility scale solar developers that and by the way, the factories that are building the panels and so forth, that is really going to boost the industry.
Well, I can tell you everyone in the industry really excited about the 10-year extension of the tax credit, because you know, the solar, we always call it the solar coaster, right? So if you went to the went to the fair and you see these mirrors, you ever see these mirrors you're standing in front of, and all of a sudden it looks like you're wobbling around? That was a definition of the solar energy, because you never knew from one minute to the next what the policy was going to change. So that gave us some stability. But hey, here's a question, Bob, you can help me with it. Why is there so much political divide when it comes to solar? I mean, if you're liberal-minded and you say you like the environment, and if you're conservative, you like the financial, I mean, there's something for everyone. Why is there such a political divide?
Because people who care about politics have made it a political divide, frankly. You know, look, there's nothing political or partisan about clean energy. There's nothing political or partisan about creating jobs in America. There's nothing political, or rather, there shouldn't be anything political about making the air that we all breathe, the water that we all have to drink, and the planet that we live on a little bit better. You know, the fact is, it doesn't matter if you drive a Prius or a pickup truck, if you like polar bears or believe in science. We've got to do something about climate change, and the best solution that we have right now is expanding clean energy to reduce the carbon emissions that are driving climate change, that are coming from fossil fuels. So, you know, unfortunately, some people have made this a political issue because they want the other side to lose, and that's it. But, you know, Americans hopefully are smart enough to realize and be able to see through that and realize that expanding clean energy is not just good for our economy, but also good for our environment.
Yeah, amen to that. You know, it reminds me, we used to have a fellow in our hometown. He was an older gentleman. He was really a contrarian. I mean, it didn't matter what you said, this guy was going to disagree. Like, if you saw a white cat walking across the road, he goes, "That cat's not white, it's black." It's kind of like that. I go, "Wait a minute, that cat's white." But anything they say, they got to say just the opposite. It's just so cockeyed. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, unfortunately so. But, you know, even if you don't care about the politics of the people who are creating these policies that are driving this growth, you ought to care about the jobs that are being created. You ought to care about the investments that are coming to communities all across the country, and you ought to care about getting cheaper, cleaner energy, because as you and I know, and most people should know, solar and wind is now the cheapest power available in just about every part of the country, and it's only getting cheaper.
You know, you think about solar, and of course, you know, we talk about this sometime, but any kind of renewable energy is pretty cool. Like if you're up in the Buffalo area, it's hydro. If you're out west, it could be wind. You know, in Florida, we just happen to have an unlimited amount of sun. And I mean, it's almost magic, Bob. You think about it, the sun comes up and it strikes this solar panel and it excites the electrons that attach themselves to, you know, conductors. And the next thing you know, you're powering your house for free. I mean, how can that not be loved by everyone?
I agree. I have to agree with you, Bill.
Gosh, I think I said that a time or two before. It's just such a really, really great thing.
It's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. Well, the prices have come down and some of the really cool financing things available. It's just anybody that wants to do it can now do it now. But you know, we're up against a break. Folk, if you'll stay with us, we'll come back, and Bob's going to tell us more about what's happening up there in D.C.
If somebody knocks on your door or a telemarketer's on your phone, you know it's not us. Hi, folks. This is Bill Gallagher with SolarFit. If you've been thinking about solar, we want you to knock on our door or call us. SolarFit's been a part of this community for over 47 years, and our customers love us. Couldn't say it if it wasn't true. Now's the time to go solar for your home or business. Give us a call at 445-7606.
SolarFit your life and set yourself free with the sun's free energy.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the SolarFit Renewable Energy Show. Bill Gallagher. I'm speaking with my friend, Mr. Bob Keefe, Executive Director of E2 Environmental Entrepreneurs. If you missed the first half of this interview, you can check it out on our Facebook post this week. Just click on it. You can hear it for sure, or our podcast. Anyway, Bob, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Bill.
I think I need to send you some money for all that education you gave all the listeners.
I don't know about that. I'm just grateful for you having me on.
Oh, but unfortunately, I just thought of something. I can't send you any money because there's a debt ceiling thing coming up here. Let's talk.
That's right. That's kind of all-consuming in Washington, D.C. right now, that's for sure.
Talk about the debt ceiling. For those that aren't familiar with it, tell everybody what that is.
Well, basically, part of the leadership in Congress is essentially holding the debt ceiling hostage while they debate whether or not to put the country in default of its debts, which would be the first time in the history of this country that we have not paid our bills like you and I and everybody else have to do in the world. And one of the bargaining chips that House leadership in Washington is using, frankly, is the Inflation Reduction Act. And the policies that are causing and really prompting all of this growth in solar and renewable energy and in electric vehicles that we're now seeing. So it's a dangerous game. It's a dangerous gamble in Washington, and the Republicans in the House are frankly have dealt themselves and the country a couple of bad hands, and hopefully they'll come to their senses and walk away from the table.
Wow. You know, this isn't the first time this debt ceiling comes up. In fact, man, I think this goes back decades. It just seems like every time it comes up to this thing, we're going to kick the can down the road, or we're going to find something to use as leverage to get the other party. It's like crazy.
Well, that's exactly right. Look, there's been a vote on raising the debt ceiling now 79 times, I think. 79 times. 48 of those, I believe, have been under Republican presidents, and 20-some have been under Democratic presidents when the Congress basically says it's going to refuse to raise the debt ceiling. And look, we all want to reduce the nation's debt. We all want to keep the government from spending too much of our hard-earned tax dollars. But the fact is the legislation that Republican leadership in Congress, driven by essentially some radical members of Congress, the policy that they're targeting, the Inflation Reduction Act, is actually on track to reduce the budget deficit by $250-some billion over the next 10 years. And, by the way, is creating jobs, driving economic growth, attracting corporate investments, the likes of which we've never seen in this country. And the majority of that, here's the kicker, Bill, the majority of those investments, the majority of these clean energy projects are actually going into Republican congressional districts around the country, in Georgia, in Alabama, in Florida, in North and South Carolina. So it's really kind of shooting themselves in the foot in some ways, and hopefully we can get some resolution around this and do it quickly, because not just the renewable energy industry, but the entire business community throughout the economy is really worried about this debt ceiling situation.
Boy, amen to that. And, you know, we really need to, it seems like ever since the COVID situation, there's been a real reduction in some people's desire to work. I don't know if you've seen it out there, but boy, we're feeling it here. Everyone has got signs out saying help wanted, but the government reports that there's full employment, and I'm going, wait a minute, where the heck are we? It isn't down here.
Right. Well, and the workforce issue is something we need to address too. You know, when we think about what are the hurdles to all of this growth that's coming in clean energy, and clearly it's coming. The two issues that come to my mind, Bill, and one that's really on the minds of a lot of people in Washington and beyond, and for good reason, is number one, the workforce situation. Where are we going to get enough workers to fill all these millions of jobs that are being created? Right. And then number two is the transmission issue, which is how are we, once we build all of this solar and wind across the country and battery storage, how are we going to move it about when it takes a decade or more to site a new transmission line? So there's definitely some hurdles ahead. But the good news is we're on the right track, and the future with clean energy is looking better and brighter than ever right now.
You know, you touched on something, Bob, right there about the really kind of the permitting process. I mean, we see it at every level, right? I mean, whether it's at a national level or it just takes nine forevers. And I think part of the reason here on a local level is a lot of people are still working remotely. And if you go to the building department, there's no one there. You go, wait a minute, you know?
Right.
We got to fix that.
Absolutely. We got to fix it at the local level, and we got to fix it at the federal level. You know, just last week, the Biden administration came out with a plan to at least help federal agencies, the vast myriad of federal agencies that work on transmission permitting, to actually talk to each other for a change. So, you know, when you're talking about siting a transmission line, there are a lot of different agencies involved. It's the Department of Interior, it's the Department of Energy, it's the EPA, it's everybody else. It's FERC, the federal grid manager, if you will. And the actions that the administration took a couple of weeks ago will at least get those agencies talking together more. But again, it really takes legislation from Congress to speed up the permitting situation across the country. And there's no doubt that if we are going to move to the clean economy we need to move to, that's already in play, we've got to do something about transmission. I mean, look, there was a line, I think, in New Mexico that finally got approval a few weeks ago after about 14 years. We just can't move at that speed if we're, in fact, going to transition to a clean economy.
14 years. You know, the length of the time, you could have a child, and that child could be driving a car. You know, at 14 years?
That's right.
Holy mackerel.
You can get a kid to high school quicker than you can get a power line up.
Well, my wish list, if I had a wish list, it would be that every municipality would have the exact same rules, right? So here are the rules. Here's what you have to do, and everybody has to do the same thing. But the issue is that, you know, we service, I don't know, 19 or 20 different municipalities. Everybody's got a different rule. So you have to have three full-time people to figure out what the rules are. It's crazy.
That's right. That's right. And look, we need to do this responsibly. We can't just be stringing up high-powered power lines all over the country and in people's backyards. That's for sure. And we need to take care of the land and the environment that we're putting these on. But, you know, we've got to also figure out a way to speed up transmission permitting in America to really tap into all of these new clean energy resources that we're building and make sure that power gets to the people that need it.
Well, I think we need to vote you into office. When can you start?
That'll never happen for a lot of reasons.
Well, that tells me that you've retained a level of sanity that's beyond question, I'll tell you.
That's
me,
right.
Me either. Hey, we're getting close to the end of this thing. I want you to talk a little bit about your book.
Oh, well, thanks for that. So, well, Climatenomics came out, again, 1 year ago this week, Bill, and it basically covers how the economic costs of climate change continue to rise. And you feel it in Florida. You just felt it with this flooding that happened in Daytona Beach and beyond. But in the West, it's wildfires. In the middle of the country, it's drought and sometimes flooding. Last year alone, we had $170 billion worth of damage to our economy from climate-related disasters. You know, that's a huge hit. That's the equivalent of the gross state product of a dozen or more states in this country. And that's what's happening to our economy every single year because of climate change. And again, it doesn't matter what your politics are or what you think about climate change. You ought to care about what it means to our economy. And right now, it's a bad thing. The good news is, thanks to these policies that we're passing now, thanks to the clean energy industry that's rolling out big time now, we can both drive economic growth and finally start to address some of those economic costs of climate change by reducing emissions. And that's what the book, that's what Climatenomics is all about.
It is an excellent book. Please, folks, pick it up and enjoy it. You know, the other unintended consequence of all this, Bob, in Florida is, man, we've got insurance companies racing to get out of here. I mean, the Georgia police are giving tickets right and left because everyone's all the insurance companies, you know, they're all in a convoy getting out of here.
Right.
Yeah, we really got
it. I lived in Florida during Hurricane Andrew. When Hurricane Andrew slammed into Homestead and South Florida, and you may remember this, but you couldn't hardly get insurance after that. That's when the state set up the Insurer of Last Resort program, and that's when insurance rates went through the roof, so to speak. And look, if we don't do something to address these economic costs, we're all going to continue to feel it in our insurance rates and what we pay for goods at the grocery store when there's flooding and drought and everything else. So it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. Bob, we're almost out of time. How can people learn more about you and maybe jump in and help what you're doing?
Well, I'm grateful for that, Bill. You know, if you're a business person and you care about these issues, I'd encourage you to get involved with our organization, E2. You can go to www.e2.org. That's e2.org. And you can find out more about the book at climatenomicsbook.com.
Wow. Bob, thank you so much, man. It's always fun to talk with you. You bring so much information and light to the topic. But thank you for coming on, man.
Well, thank you, and it's always great to talk to you, Bill. Hope to hear again soon.
Okay, thanks. Folks, we're going to have to sign off for now. Please, get a hold of Bob and environmental entrepreneurs and get on board with E2 and help out if you can. It's very important to not only to us but to our children as well. And, tune in this weekend. We're at North Wilkesboro. Next weekend we'll be at Charlotte Motor Speedway for the events. Tune in to the Race to Stop Suicide. Watch Daniel Dye race to the front of the field. We're going to sign off for now, folks. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
SolarFit Renewable Energy Radio Show, paid for by SolarFit.